Good morning. Today's daf in Menachos is Nun Hey. We're on Nun Hey. We are two lines from the top of the Amud on Nun Hey and Aleph, and we're continuing a discussion from yesterday. Really fascinating discussion in yesterday's daf regarding shiurim, where there was either an expansion or contraction. So you had either a hydration or a dehydration, and a food either expanded or contracted. And how do we view it halachically? The issue obviously becomes of super significance just in terms of the basic Gemara. Meaning that if you eat a kezayis of something which is usher, so you're going to get malchus. Let's say it was at one point in time a kezayis, but then it dehydrated, contracted, and it's now less than a kezayis. Or we can go the other way, where it was less than a kezayis, and then it grows greater than a kezayis through hydration. So the under those circumstances, what does the halacha say? And so it was a major debate yesterday between Amoraim. Three Amoraim are arguing with three Amoraim. Right, if you remember the sugya, begins yesterday on Daf Nun Dal Mad Aleph, right in the middle of the Amud, where you have Basar Egel Shenitpach, you have the young calf meat which expands, or the Basar Zekenish Nismaich, or the old meat which, generally speaking, contracts. Mishtar L'chmo Shehein. So the Mishnah Uksan has a position, and that is that we're Mishtar, we measure it, we weigh it based on L'chmo Shehein. Now, what does that Mishnah mean? So here's where it gets. Here's where the water gets a little bit murky, because Rav Zera, Rabbi Yochanan, Amri, Mishtarim, Kamo Shehein. And so the three Amoraim of Rav and Rabbi Chia and Rabbi Yochanan all say, you base it as it is, as it currently is constituted. And you don't look at the history, you just simply look at this current constitution. Shmuel and Rabbi Shimon Barabi and Reish Lakish are of the opinion, Mishtarim lechemos. Now in our Gemara we have the word Shehein, the Bach changes it to Shahayu. In other words, then you go based on what it was and not what it is. So, major machlokas on Mariam. And then the waters got a little bit murkier, because then what Rabbah tried to do is Rabbah tried to create shalom between these six Amoraim. If it's a question of it expanding, if it's a question of contracting, Rabbah argues that there's no debate. What the debate lies is on the issue of where it was once upon a time the shear, the requisite shear. Then it contracted. Then it expanded. And the way Rabbah wants to explain it is whether or not there's dichui or there's no dichui as it relates to isurim. Okay, and as we pointed out yesterday, a really interesting understanding of dichui. Dichui we have regarding karbanos. Dichui we have regarding mitzvos. The idea that there's also dichui by isurim as well. So that's how Rabbah wanted to frame the argument. In all this, we went through mishnayos and shas that we do not see in the daf. We went through a mishnah uksin. We went through a couple of mishnayos and trumos. We went through a mishnah taharos. So a lot of mishnayos in state of taharos. That seemed to touch on this very issue. In the course of doing so, we also quoted a Tosefta yesterday from Trumos, and the Tosefta talked about taking te'enim al grogeris, right? Fresh figs versus dried figs. Fresh figs are plump and large, and dried figs obviously are small and shriveled up. As I mentioned yesterday, I threw out a number yesterday that the plump fresh figs are two times greater in volume than the dried figs. For the purposes of the discussion yesterday, it's a great way to think about it. It's an easy way to discuss it. And now what you want to do is that you have a collection of figs. Some of them are fresh and some of them are dried. And you want to take off trumas and maestros. So how do you take off trumas and maestros? Meaning, if you're taking off the fresh figs and giving it to the Kohen, so that obviously is bigger. If you're taking off the dried figs, it's obviously smaller. So how do you do so? So yesterday, what the Tosefta says is that it depends on whether you're giving him the fresh figs or the dried figs. If you gave him the fresh figs, so then you want to give the Kohen, you want to do it by count. You want to do it by count, says the Tosefta. Because then what's going to happen is that if you, let's say you have 100, and you're giving him the fresh figs, and what you leave for yourself are the dried figs, if you're doing it by count, the Kohen's going to get something which is sizable, which is actually much bigger. If you are going to be giving him the dried figs, so then give it to him by volume. In other words, so then you have to actually weigh out. When I say weigh, I mean weigh the volume. But you're going to have to actually figure out the volume of all your figs and give it to him as a volume. The confusing part yesterday was which matana are we talking about? Are we talking about truma gedola? So then 10% seems very strange, because truma gedola is 2%, right? It's 1/50th, and even as we say 1/50th, as we learned yesterday, as we learned many times, that's not a hard number. That's not an absolute. 2% is a recommendation by the Chachamim. You can go a little bit over, you can go a little bit under. truth of the matter is chita achas poteres sakri. Even if you just give one kernel, that satisfies truma gedola. If we're talking about maisa rishon, well, then the word torment is really difficult, as we pointed out yesterday. But okay, but that's not the end of the world. Meaning torment just simply means I take off. But if we're talking about maisa rishona that goes to the levi, well, that's very difficult because then you need an exact amount and you cannot. There's no guesstimation. There's no estimation. You have to give precisely 10%. And so therefore, if we're going by as is or we're going as was, which was the debate in yesterday's Gemara, you got to be consistent in terms of which approach you go with because you have to give an exact amount. And then the last opinion, which was where we left off yesterday, is that we're not talking about Truma Gedola, we're not talking about Maaser Rishon, but rather we're talking about Trumas Maaser. When the Levi receives his 10%, he then in turn has to give 10% of that which he received and allocate that to the Kohan. That's what's called Trumas Maaser. Now, even though that is 10%, there is an opinion which we learned at the end of yesterday's daf that the Trumas Maaser behaves like Truma Gedola. Just like Truma Gedola can be given as an approximation, Trumas Maaser also 10%, but doesn't have to be absolutely 10%. It could be more, it could be less. And it's an approximation just like Truma Gedola is. Okay. And that's where we got to yesterday. And let's pick it up where we left off yesterday. Nun hei med aleph umina. So second line down from the top of the Amud, Nun hei med aleph, and from it. Meaning, we're going to go back to the Tosefta, and we're actually going to see from the Tosefta itself whether or not we're going to go based on as is or as was. Amar Rav Elazar Reb Yosi Abba Hayano Tel Eser Grogor Shebe Mikso Al Tishim Shebe Kalkala. So this is the Tosefta that we read yesterday. Reb Elazar Reb Yosi quotes that his father's practice is that he would take 10 of the grogoros, that's the dried, and he would separate it from 90. So 10 onto 90. And Iyamar Bishlam Alechemo Shehein Amru Shapir. So if we're saying now that it's based on as it was, makes a lot of sense. Meaning, so if we're measuring everything not based on its current volume, but on its original volume, so then it's dried figs, it's half the volume of the fresh figs, but that's okay. Meaning, because as far as the volume is concerned, don't look at it as it's currently constituted. Look at it as it was originally, and originally they were all the same size. So then it makes perfect sense. But but if you're telling me you're looking at them as is, as they're presently constituted, so that's a problem. Because you're now giving the Kohanim the dried figs. They are half the volume as a fresh figs. And now you're giving 10 on 90, but volume-wise, you're giving him significantly less. But still, the Gemara says that's a lot less. And you can't do that. Meaning 10% is certainly recommendation. To give more than 10% is fine. To give a little bit less than 10%, I'm guessing is okay. I'm not sure, but I'm guessing that's okay. But over here, if you're giving him the dried figs, you're giving him half of 10%, right? Which normally we refer to as 5%. But you can't do that. So the Gemara says, so what does it sound like? So it sounds pretty clear from the Tosefta that we're not judging things based on what they're currently constituted, but as they were originally constituted. We go l'chemo shahayu, not the current state. So the Gemara answers this question, ki asur avdimi amar avalazur shani grogoros hol v'yachol l'shalkan l'achzir l'chemo shahin. So the Gemara says like this. The Gemara says, you know what? I would leave figs out of this entire discussion. Because even though it is a really important discussion of whether or not we judge things based on how they are versus how they were, and even though things expand and contract, but you know what the story with figs are? Figs, you can easily reconstitute the figs. The figs were right now, when they're dried out, so they're small. And they're half the volume of a fresh fig. That's true. But what you do is you put them in the pot, you cook them up, or soak them. I mean, the Gemara says the word shulkan, which normally means cooking. But you put them back in the pot, and you can easily expand them back to their original size. So figs, because they're so easily manageable, where they could shrink and they can grow back. So we really, truth of the matter is that we leave figs out of the discussion altogether. Tana Rabbanan. We're Nun Hayam and Aleph. We are at the Braisa. Tormin Te'enim Ala Grogros B'makom Shergil Nasos Te'enim Grogros V'lo Grogros Al Te'enim V'afil B'makom Shergil Nasos Te'enim Grogros. Okay. And the Braisa over here deals with the following basic issue. What's preferable? Meaning, so now, this is just kind of like an epilogue to yesterday's discussion. meaning we're talking about giving the having figs, having a harvesting figs, drying some of them and keeping some of them fresh, giving it to the Kohanim. What would be better? Would it be better to give the Kohanim the fresh figs or the dried figs? Now, in terms of quality, so everything really kind of depends on taste and what do you prefer. But in terms of quality, so obviously fresh figs are better than dried figs. Now, I say that not as an absolute, but that's generally speaking the rule. So, and we know that when taking off Truma Samaisos and giving the Truma to the Kohen, you should be giving him the better quality stuff. That's also pretty clear. And we also know, Ein Tormim in a Yafe ala Ra'a. I should say the other way around. Ein Tormim in a Ra'a ala Yafe. One should not take Truma from that which is of an inferior quality and that which is a superior quality. So, generally speaking, if I didn't first read this brisa, which I did, I didn't explain it. But if I didn't first read the brisa, I would have said, what should be given to the Kohen? The fresh figs. Fresh figs, that's better. Okay, so here's now where the brisa weighs in on this issue. I'm now going to read the brisa again, and a little slower and a little clearer. Tormin te'inam ala grogros. So you could take fresh figs and use that as your truma against the dried figs, meaning you'll keep the dried figs for yourself. B'makom shirigim la'asos te'inam grogros. In a place where te'inim are normally converted into dried figs. Velo grogros al te'inim, but don't give the Kohanim the dried figs against fresh figs. Va'afilu b'makom shereg'im la'asos te'inim grogros. Even where it's normal, where the societal norm is to take the fresh figs and convert into dried figs. That's the brisa. And this brisa needs better understanding. What exactly are the context of the situation? Context is really important over here, and the Gemara is going to fill in the details. We continue in the Gemara. The Gemara now is going to go back on the Braisa and try to analyze and give better context to each section of the Braisa. So, Amar Mar Tormin Te'inim Ala Grogros. B'makim Sheregim Lasos Te'inim Grogros. So, one could take the fresh figs and give those as your truma to the Kohen, the better ones, right? Give that to the Kohanim. And B'makim Sheregim Lasos Te'inim Grogros, in a place where it's normal to actually make figs and turn them into dried figs. So, b'makom sheregilim in, b'makom sheregilim lo. So the Gemara says, only in a place where it is the norm, but if it's not the norm, then no. The Gemara says, hey, chidami, what exactly is going on over here? Give me some more context. E de'ika kohen. Well, do we have a kohen here in the community? Meaning, we're going to take off truma. Do I have a kohen ready and available right now to be the recipient of the truma? Well, if I do, e de'ika kohen, makom sheregil amai lo. V'hatanan, makom sheyesh kohen toru mina yafe. What if there's a kohen around? This shouldn't be an issue. Of course, you should be giving the kohen the better figs. The better figs are the fresh figs. And so, I don't understand what does it matter whether or not there's a societal norm or there's no societal norm. If I have a kohen ready and available, give him the good stuff. Elapshita de like a kohen. So the Gemara says that we're talking about a scenario where there is no kohen. If there's no kohen. Oh, now we have a better context. Meaning to say that if there's no Kohen around, so that means to say that I'm going to take off Truma, but I don't have a Kohen ready to receive it, so this may be staying around for a while. I mean, obviously, I'm going to be safeguarding it on my property until I do find a Kohen, but that means this follows. There would be a preference for dried figs. Dried figs last longer. Fresh figs spoil quicker. So if we're talking now where there's no Kohen available, so then I understand the Braisa. But Eim Asefa, but the Gemara says, okay, but then go on to the next part of the Braisa. V'lo grogros ala te'inim v'afilo b'makom sheregil la'asos te'inim grogros. But don't flip it around. Don't take dried figs against the fresh figs, and don't use the dried figs as truma to be given to the Kohen, even if it is societally normal to do so. To make, in other words, to make and to eat dried figs. The Gemara says, wait 1 second. Eat the like a Kohen am I low. Well, what do you mean? Here, if there's no Kohen around, like we explained the first half of the Tosefta, we know what the rule is. The rule is you're going to be taking off not which is better, but that which lasts longer, the Miskayim. So I'm now totally confused by the Tosefta. If there's no Kohen around in the Reisha and there's no Kohen around in the Seifa, there should be basically one rule. Dried figs. Dried figs are going to last longer, and I have a better chance where these dried figs are going to make it to a Kohen. Elapshita de'ika Kohen. So it must be that the Seifa is talking about where there is a Kohen, where there's a Kohen around. So then there's a preference to go over fresh figs over dried figs because we have a receiving Kohen who is currently present and available in order to receive it. Reisha the like a Kohen, Sefer Dika Kohen. Now the Gemara says, now this Tosefta, what is it doing? It's flipping, meaning the context of the Tosefta is changing. And that's uncomfortable, meaning a Mishnah, a Braisa, a Tosefta, when giving us a rule and having the rule turn on something, normally we don't want the rule to turn on a different context. Normally we want the rule to turn on a halachic issue. But over here, the Braisa, the Tosefta, is turning on whether there is or there isn't a Kohen. And that's a really strange way to explain a Braisa. And the Gemara basically is incredulous. Like, that's what the Braisa is talking about? And the Gemara says, yeah, that's right. That's right. In Reisha Deleka Kohen, Sefadika Kohen. Yeah. Meaning, once you know the rules, if there's a Kohen, Yafa beats out Ra. If there's no Kohen, Miskayim beats out Yafa. So once you know the rules, so then you go back to the Tosefta, there's only one way to learn the Tosefta, even though it means that we're changing the context of the first half and the second half of the Tosefta. Amar Rav Papa, just give me one moment. I'll pause. Amar Rav Papa Shmamina Dachinu Makmina Masisa Betrei Tamei Velo Makminan Betrei Tanai. So Rav Papa says, as a general rule of learning, when you see a Tosefta like this, when you see a Braisa like this, and I guess you would say the same thing by a Mishnah, if you have the opportunity to, in other words, the Braisa is confounding. This Tosefta is confounding. My options are either A, to say, well, maybe it's a Machlokas between the Reisha and the Sefer. Or B, no, it's one Tana saying it. The context just simply changes between the Reisha and the Sefer. He says, Rav Papa says, I'll generally opt with changing the context rather than saying that the Braisa is a Machlokas. Meaning they are both valid approaches to how to approach a Tosefta, but preferentially, Rav Papa says, I prefer to change context and say the Reisha is talking about this case, the Sefer is talking about this case, rather than saying it's a Machlokas tonight. Yeah, Martin. Right, correct. But the reality of the first half of the Braisa is where there is a Kohen around, and the reality of the second half of the Braisa is where there's no Kohen around. The Braisa doesn't make that point clear. We are reading that into the Braisa. We're giving narration to the Braisa, but simply because there's no other way to say the Braisa. That's the only way it works out. We are Nun Hayamad Alford in the bottom of the Amud. We're starting now the next Mishnah, Kal Menachos Nilosha Bepostron. It's a point that we made already before, but let's say it again. And that is that water goes into your mincha. Now, water goes into the mincha, that's a big deal. Meaning, there's nowhere in the psukim, in the Torah, where the Torah discusses menachos. Torah talks about menachos in Parshas Vayikra. Talks about it again in Parshas Tzav. But nowhere in the Torah does it mention that there's water that goes in. It's obvious that water goes in, meaning we're talking about making bread. I use the word bread, I'm using it loosely over here. It's matzah, it's not bread. Two notable exceptions where it is bread, where it's leavened. Well, we already covered that in the first Mishnah. They are going to be made with water, not just any kind of water, but warm water. Now, we made this point yesterday. Let's say it again. Warm water is going to help accelerate the leavening process. Now, for Shtei Lechem and for the Lechem HaTorah, that's good. For the rest of Menachos, that's not good. And the truth of the matter is, that's what we want. I know that sounds strange, but it means to say now that because we're going to be using warm water, so that way we're going to be, the Kohanim are going to be working real quickly because they don't want it to become chametz. And so they basically put themselves in a position where warm water is good for leavening, and yet they put in warm water so that everything will be done really quickly, and there will be this idea of shmirah. We talked about this yesterday, meaning that the Torah wants us to be shomer, to safeguard and make sure that the menachos don't turn into chametz. Well, if there is a possibility that's going to become chametz, meaning i.e. you add warm water, so then there's going to be the counter of shmirah to make sure that this doesn't happen. And shmirah is just simply where the Kohanim are going to be working with it really quickly to ensure that it doesn't turn into chametz. The Mishnah starts off called menachos niloshim beposhrim. So all menachos are going to be made with warm water. Omishamim shalo yachmitza. And safeguard it to make sure that it doesn't turn into chametz. The ime chmitzu shireha over below sase. Now, if it becomes chametz, excuse me, the Mishnah over here is focusing on the shirayim. But as we're going to learn together, the iser of chametz is not only on the shirayim, the remaining part of the mincha, but it's also going to go on the chametz as well. The kemitza cannot become chametz as well. But you'll see, as we go through the Gemara, we'll see why it is that we're focusing on the shirayim. So, shireh over below sase, If the shirayim become chametz, so then one would be in violation of a negative prohibition of the Torah Shenemar Kol HaMincha Asher Takriv LaHashem Lo Sase Chametz. One cannot make it into chametz. V'chayiv al lishasa, al arichasa, v'al afiyasa. Every act that one does with the mincha, which is a significant act, we'll talk about significant later this morning. Every act which is a significant act constitutes its very own lav. And that means to say that one is going to be receiving a lav on either kneading, with a K, kneading the dough, where the dough now becomes chametz of a mincha, arichasa, arranging it, meaning shaping it, and alafiyasan, baking it. If one does any of these activities with a mincha, and while doing so it is chametz, it becomes chametz, so then one is violation of a lav for every one of these actions. Now, Menahan Emili, the Gemara right away opens up with a discussion of how do I know? How do I know that when it comes to the shirayim, one is in violation of the lo sase? If you read the psukim carefully, and Rashi makes this point on the top of the next amud, the psukim sound like the iser is on the komets per se, but not necessarily the shirayim. Meaning, and this really takes us back to the Mishnah. Meaning, the Mishnah is focused on the shirayim. Why is the Mishnah talking about the shirayim? Why isn't the Mishnah talking about the komets? And the answer is because from the psukim, it seems pretty clear that the chametz itself cannot become, is not allowed to become chametz. So but in other words, in the psukim themselves, it's not super clear that this is also true by the shirayim. Hence, the Mishnah comes along and the Mishnah says that the iser is not just limited to the chametz, but also applies to the shirayim as well. Meaning, remember, we're learning Torah Shabbat Peh. The Torah Shabbat is telling us that the chametz is subject to the iser, and the Torah Shabbat Peh is that the same thing is true with the shirayim. And so now, how do I know that? So we have a drasha coming up. So, Menan Emili, the Gemara says, how do I know this? I'm a Rish Lakish, I'm a Kra. Lo se'afe chametz chelkam. So don't bake the chametz chelkam, their portion. Their portion referring to the Kohanim. Which part of the mincha is the Kohen's portion? The shirayim. Afilu chelkam lo se'afe chametz. Even that part cannot be baked chametz. V'haylach yidu asa ha'mibay lelechet detanya. The Gemara says, wait 1 second. We already have that pasuk and that phrase dedicated to a different drasha. And that is, as we turn now to the top of Nun Hamad Beis, Lo Se'afei Chametz. The Torah says that one is not allowed to bake a chametz, Matam Lomar Valo Kvar Nehemar, Lo Se'asei Chametz. The two parshas in the Torah that talk about the mincha is one in Parshas Vayikra and the other one is in Parshat Tzav, back-to-back parshas. And in both, the Torah already states that Lo Se'afei Chametz and Lo Se'asei Chametz. So why do I have the double expression? If we only had the pasuk in Vayikra of Lo Se'aseh Chametz, I might have thought that all the actions of kneading and shaping and baking all represent one lav. So Eino Chayev Ela Achas. Sorry, Lo Yehi Chayev Ela Achas Akulam. Tamalomer Lo Se'aseh. When the Torah in Parsha Tzav says the words baking, so that means afia b'chlal haisa. Now, the word asiya is a general term, meaning doing the mincha. Doing the mincha means basically getting it done. That's going on all the activities. But then when you open up to Parsha Tzav, the next Parsha, and you see the Torah says the word afia, so that means that there's a lav just for one part of the getting it done, and that's the baking. And so now what the Gemara is going to deduce from here is that there is a lav on every step of the way. Every significant step of the preparing of the mincha, there's going to be a separate lav. How do I know that? Where you're going to use one of the yugim amidah shatard nejoshas behem. Meaning, lo safe afia b'chlal haisa. Because baking is part of asiya. Asiya is getting it done. Afia is just a prat. It's a detail. So lama yatsas. So why did the Torah now spell it out? Lahaki sheleha. Ma afia miyuchedesh yimaisa yechidi. So afia, what is the nature of afia? So it's maisa yechida. It's a significant part of the act. V'chayavin ala bifnei atzma. And one is going to be subject to malchus for just baking alone. Baking a minchan chametz. That has become chametz. Af ani avi lishasa. V'arichasa. V'chomasa yechidi. So now, any significant act in the baking process, which would include kneading, which would include arranging more like shaping, and any ma'ase yechidi in any significant act. Now, when the Braisa says any significant act, what just got included? Because baking, the Torah already says that. Right? Shaping and kneading, the Brisa says that. So what's left? So the Gemara adds La'asuye Kituf. So we're going to add to that is Kituf. What is Kituf? I mean, I'll read the Rashi. I kind of get it. Rashi writes La'asuye Kituf. Shemachlik paneh b'mayim. Right? After the challah is kneaded and shaped, so there's an egg wash that's done on the face. Rashi over here, it's not an egg wash, it's a water wash. Okay, fine. Alpha gavdalav maisa kol kachu. Now, that is not so super significant, but significant enough. So that shehu maisa yechidi v'chayav la b'fnei atzmam. Okay, so what just happened over here is we now understand the need for both psukim. We have a pasuk of lo sase chametz, and we have a pasuk of lo se afei chametz. So why do I need both psukim? So this is one of the yukim omidosh shator nidroshes behem, and this is number...
Correct.
That's absolutely correct. In fact, Danny, that point is so significant, which you just said. The Gemara later on is going to make that very point. Okay, it's not klal or prad. It's not prad or klal. It's not even klal or prad or klal. It's kol davar shaya b'chlal. No, not that one. It's kol davar shaya b'chlal. It's something klal amed. Okay, the number 8 in the list. Okay, and Danny, for your reason, we're gonna come back to your point a little bit later on in the Gemara in just a couple minutes from now. Okay, so what just happened? We have the words lo sase, we have the word lo seafe. Why do I have both? And the answer is because it now is subject. It's open to the drasha of bichlal haya, right? Bichlal haisa, so that. That the word lo se'ase tells me that I can't do the mincha and allow it to become a chametz. Do meaning every action. And if I just had that pasuk by itself, I would have said that there's one lav that constitutes all the various activities. Baking, kneading, shaping. And then the second pasuk is coming to tell me that no. That the lav is for just one part of the action. As long as it's significant, as long as it's maisi yechidi, so you're going to get a lav. And so from there, what was generated is the halacha is that there's a lav not just for the baking, but there's a lav for anything that falls under this category as being a significant act. So the shaping and the kneading, and even the water wash at the end, all those are significant. And if one were to do any of these activities while the mincha is chametz, this is a lav in the Torah. The problem with all this is we tried to use this pasuk to explain our original question, minahani mili. Meaning the manan immediately, the original question of the Gemara is, how do I know that that the Isser of Chametz is not only going on the Kemitza, but it's also going on the Shiraim as well? So this is now where the Gemara regroups, and the Gemara says, I got the other source. Michelkam kamrinan. No, it's not on the word afia, it's from the word chelkam, their portion. Their portion, obviously, a reference to the Shiraim. So the Gemara says, "Ve'emakula l'achiu da'ase." So the Gemara says, "But wait one second. Maybe it's coming to teach me just one specific point and not both points." Imkein lichtov kara chelkam lo se'afei chametz. My lo se'afei chametz chelkam shema minatarte. It's the construct of the pasuk. The Torah, if the Torah just wanted to make one point, and that is that the iser of chametz is going on the shirayim. The way the Torah would have written it is chelkam lo se'afei chametz. Their portion, the Shiraim, don't make their chametz. But that's not what the Torah does. From a construct standpoint, what the Torah does is flips around the phrase, lo se'afei chametz chelkam, shema minatarte. So we learn out two halachas. One halacha is that the Isser of chametz is going not only on the chametz, but also on the Shiraim. The second halacha is that the Isser of making a mincha chametz is on every action, on each and every action. The aim of the Gemara continues, Ve'em afia de part barachmana lechayiv chada, inich lechayiv chada kulo. So the Gemara says, okay, but why don't we say the following? The fact that the Torah identifies afia and specifies afia, so maybe there is one law for afia. As far as the other activities are concerned, maybe they're all bundled together under one other law. Not that there's a law on each and every action. So the Gemara says, Mishim dahavi davishaya bechlavi yatsa minaklal, lamed lo lamed atzma yatsa, lamed al klal kulo yatsa. So the Gemara says, basically, rule number 8. meaning go to the Yud Gimel Midrash HaTorah Nidrashes Bahem, right? I have it opened up in front of me, and go to rule number 8, right? Klal Ches, and from there, this is a rule. The rule is that when the Torah starts off with the generality of Asiyah, and then at a later point in time goes to a specific of Afiyah, it's telling me that this is now going to be the rule across the board. Meaning just like Afiyah is one part of the action, one is going to get a lot for that one part of the action, that's also going to be true for every other aspect of the baking and the preparing of the mincha. That one is going to be receiving a lot for any individual action. The aim of the Gemara still continues. The Gemara says, Ve'ema lo sase, klal lo safe prat, klal lo prat, ein b'klal ala masha b'prat. Afiyah in midech min alo. And now, Danny, here's where the Gemara is asking your question. Why isn't this a klal lo prat? And if it is a klal lo prat, well, we know the rule. Klal lo prat ein lecha ela masha b'prat. You only have the specific and nothing more than that. So, Amar Rav Aftariki, Mishum Dehavi klal lo prat, Amurchakim Zemizeh, V'chol klal lo prat, Amurchakim Zemizeh, Ein dan nosob klal lo prat. Because that's not how klal lo prat works. Klal lo prat works when it's found in the same pasuk. In one pasuk, I have a generality and a specific and a generality. So then we have the rules of klal lo prat, prat uklal, etc., etc. Over here, they're in two different parshios. So that's why it's not going to be rule number four or five or six. Right? Four is klal lo prat. Five is prat uklal. Six is klal lo prat uklal. Meaning that's only when it's in one pasuk. But over here, one pasuk is in Parshas Vayikra, another pasuk is in Parshas Tzav. They're far away from one another, so therefore you don't use neither rule four or five or six, but go down to rule number 8, Klal Ches. So the Gemara says, are you right about that? Meaning, I'm going to show you that there is a Klal Prat, even though the psukim are not next to one another. Let's consider the following. So we are in the fourth parak of Vayikra over here, and we're talking about the Seir of the Nasi. We spent a lot of time in Horios talking about the various special carbon chattises that are offered by the special positions. If you're a Kohen Gadol, if you're the king, so and you're a Chote, so you bring special carbonos. All this is brought down in the fourth parak of Vayikra, and we discussed it extensively in Masecht Horios. So the Torah says, v'shacharos, so you're going to shecht it, meaning the seir of the nasi, v'makam asher yishachet ha'olah, in the same place that the olah shechted. Lifnei Hashem, chatasu. So heichen olah nishchatim b'tzafon, avzeh b'tzafon. Now where's the olah shechted? The olah shechted in the north. This too is going to be shechted in the north as well. V'chi anu mikan lameidim. This is the source. V'lo kvar nemar. V'makam asher tishachet ha'olah tishachet ha'chatas. We have a pasuk in Parshat Tzav that could not be any clearer. Where the Torah says with absolute clarity that the place where you shecht the olah, that's going to be shechting the chatas. So halama zeyatza. So what is the pasuk in Perek Dalid in Parshas Vayikra coming to teach us when we already know the halacha? So the Gemara says lekavo sheim lo shachet osa betzafan pasla. So the Gemara says, well, kvius, meaning if I only had one parsha. Right, the Parshat Tzav, B'makam Asher Tishachet, Ha'olah Tishachet Achatas. If all I had was that pasuk, so I learned from there, preference. It's better to shecht it up north. It's a mitzvah to shecht on the north side of the Azara. What's the second pasuk coming to teach me? Kevias. You have to shecht it in the north. And if you don't do it, it's a deal breaker. So the Gemara says, Atar Malakach Yatzo, Elah Shezet Ton Tzafon, V'inacher Ton Tzafon. So the Gemara says, well, why don't we make the following argument, or the following limud? Why don't we say that the Torah is telling us that this requires shechting in the north to the exclusion of everything else, every other chatas which doesn't need to be shechted in the north? Tamalamar v'shachadas ha'chatas b'makom asher tishachet es ha'ola. Zeh b'na'av l'chol chatas shetun etzafas. So the Gemara says, no, we have a binyanav. In other words, the Torah is saying as a precedent that every chatas is to be shechted in the north. So now, let's take all this into consideration. We just learned to brace it together. Where for a moment the Braisa entertained that when the Torah by the Nasi, the Seir Nasi, tells us that Shecht in the north, for a moment the Gemara entertained the idea that this is the only carbon chatas to Shecht in the north. Now, time of the Kazar Rachman of Shechad as a chatas, Halav Hachiav Aminisha Zeh Taun Safon Vein Acher Taun Safon. So the Gemara says, I want to sit on that Havamina. How did the Braisa for a moment entertain the idea that this is the exception to the rule? My time allowed me shum to have a klal prat. V'afagav demur chakim zemizeh. Danasob a klal prat. And the Gemara says, I think I know the answer why. Because what the Gemara thought is that this is a klal uprat. Now, this is a klal uprat. One is in Parshat Tzav, the other one is in Parshat Vayikra, and yet, what the Bryce is doing is looking at it as a klal uprat. And ein lecha ela masha beprat. And then that means to say that this is the only time. Now, over here, this goes against what we said earlier. We said earlier that if I have a pasuk in one parsha and another pasuk in another parsha, that does not create a klal uprat, that goes now to the later rules. Klal ches, klal tes, klal yud. But it doesn't, it's not klal dalet, hey, or vav. So the Gemara says, Maskev la revashi hai klal uprat hu, prat u klal hu, v'nasa klal mosif ala prat, vis rabbi le kol mili. First of all, Rav Ashi says, I'm not answering the question fundamentally. But first, I'm just going to pick apart at your suggestion. You are suggesting that it is a klal uprat. Well, I don't understand. The klal's in Parshat Tzav. That's later in the Torah. The prat's coming first in Parshat Vayikra. So if anything, this shouldn't fall under the category of klal uprat. This should fall under the category of prat u klal. Now we know the rule. Prat u klal, so then the klal is coming to be mosif. And coming to tell me everything. It includes everything. So, and this is not a fundamental answer. It's just like, what are you even thinking asking this question? It's not even klal uprat. It's prat uklal. Ella tana oso kakashile. So, now we're going to answer the question fundamentally, which is, what is behind the brisa where for a moment the brisa entertained the idea that the seer nasi is the only carbon that's going to be shefted up in the north and no other carbon chatas? It's not based on the rules of klal uprat or prat uklal. Again, we don't apply those rules over here. Those are psukim found elsewhere. But rather, what is it based on? It's based on the word oso. If you look in the psukim, it says, v'shachat oso b'makom asher yishachet ha'olah. You shecht it. Meaning, and we know, oso is a miyud, it's a limitation. It means this and only this. So that's what was difficult for the Braisa. So, Tana Osoka Kashale, Vahachikamer. Oh, Eina Allah, Shizet Ton Self, Amen Acher Ton Self, and Dikas of Rahman Oso. It's exactly for the reason because it says the word Oso. Vahasha, Denafkalim, Vishachar, Sakhatas, Osola Mutemai. So the Gemara says, okay, great. But now I have a good follow up question. So the Braisa took Oso into consideration, but the Braisa dispensed with it. Nah. Okay, Gemara says, okay, that's great. But you can't just simply dispense with the word Oso. Oso must be teaching us something. So what is it coming to teach us? So I'll start the Gemara now, but this goes well into tomorrow's daf. But let's start it now. So the Gemara says, Oso b'tzofen v'ein seer nachshu b'tzofen. So the first suggestion of the Gemara is, well, I got it. The word Oso, it is a limitation. A carbon chatas, a quote-unquote standard carbon chatas shecht in the north, but an unusual carbon chatas is not going to be shecht in the north. Give me an example of an unusual carbon chatas, the carbon chatas of Nachshon. Now, granted, historically, in the last 3,300 years, this only was brought once. But it is a carbon chatas, and it was brought by the Nisim. The first 12 days of operation, the Mishkan in the Midbar, from Rosh Chodesh Nisan until the 12th day of Nisan. So the Nisim, each one of them brought a set of karbanos. Included in each one of their karbanos, by the way, it's identical to one another. We know this is all in Parshas Naso. So included in their karbanos is a karban chatas. This is what's called the Seir of Nachshon. Nachshon only because he was day one. That's why it's called Seir Nachshon. Seir Nachshon is not to be brought in an orasakadach. I mean, all these rabbi linyan, smichalis, rabbi nami linyan, safan kamash malan. Now we know that Nachshon did smicha on that carbon. The wonderful question you can ask is, how do we know that? But we'll get back to that in just a moment. So he did smicha on the carbon. So one would have thought, okay, if he's doing smicha on the carbon, so let's treat it, quote unquote, like a normal carbon, like a regular carbon. So kamash malan. So the Gemara says, so that's what the Oso is coming to tell me, that the seer of Nachshon is not to be, it does not have to be shecht in the north. Usmicha gufa minala. Now, how do I know that smicha was done? D'tanya, we learned in a brisa. V'samach yodah rosh ha-seir, that smicha is done on the head of the seir. L'rabba, seir nachshon, l'smicha div Rav Yehuda. According to Rav Yehuda, we have a ribuy over here. And the ribuy comes to tell me, even though the pasuk itself is by the nasi, so but nevertheless, we have a ribuy. Rashi says that later in the Masechta, we'll understand the ribuy a little bit better in terms of how exactly it works, but we have a ribuy and tells us that Nachshon himself did smicha. And as long as we're here, let's just finish up. Rabbi Shimon Omer, L'Rabbos, we're on the top of Nunvav Amad Aleph, L'Rabbos, Seirei Avodas Kochavim L'Smicha. No, it's not that Seir that requires smicha, but rather the Seir of Avodah Zarah. The Seir of Avodah Zarah is a special carbon mentioned in Parsha Shlach, where if the majority of the Jewish people are over to Avodah Zarah, a special carbon is brought. That carbon requires smicha. Okay, so machlokes tanayim, whether or not the seer of Nachshon requires smicha. For a moment, let's just focus on one position, and that is it does require smicha. So now, if the carbon required smicha, so then we would have entertained the idea that, oh, it's a regular carbon chatas, even though it's irregular. He's not bringing it for a chet, although I've told you this a number of times. Look at Rashi and Chumash, where Rashi and Chumash says that the Nesim are bringing it for a chet, and that is for the sale of Yosef. But kipshuto, they're not bringing it for a chet, so it's an irregular carbon chatas, but once there's smicha, so then also she requires a shechita in the north as well. So what the drasha now is telling me is that no, it's not going to be shech the north. And by the way, how does the drasha work? It's actually pretty straightforward, meaning because the parsha here is talking about the seer of the nasi. Now, nasi's a king, but nasi, more loosely translated, is a leader. Who are the 12 people bringing the karbanos on the 12 days of inauguration? The nasiim, meaning the leaders, tribal leaders, not melech, not king. So, but in other words, that's exactly the point. Only the king needs to shecht his in the north, but the nasiim, who are bringing their karbanos, do not have to shecht in the north. Okay, we'll stop over here. We'll pick it up tomorrow.